good to hear Claude end on a positive note that Greenwood Hills is going to keep going. I was beginning to get a little morbid because we had our last meal and we sang our last hymn and we have our last meeting and we have our last message. I wanted to tell a story last night, but you had so much talent and so little time that, and besides that, Claude's concern about saying something that was untimely kind of backed me off and scared me a little bit. But I'm going to tell this story now, and if you've heard it before, don't stop me because I won't. John and Jenny were in the late part of their lives, and they were home, as they often were, alone one evening, and very late at night, about 9:15, Jenny said, "John, do you know what I'd like?" And John said, "What would you like, Jenny?" She said, "Some ice cream." He said, "No problem, I'll go to the refrigerator and get you some." And she said, "Well, that's the trouble, John," she said, "we've used it all up." Well, he said, "No problem." He said, "I'll go get you some. What would you like?" And she said, "I'd like that soft ice cream in vanilla." And he said, "You got it, Jenny." And he went to get the keys to his car, and she said, "John, don't you think with your memory you ought to write it down?" And he said, "Jenny, you want soft ice cream and vanilla." And she said, "Well, I still think you ought to write it down." So he put his coat on, and she said, "While you're at it, let them pour some of that lovely chocolate sauce over the ice cream." And he said, "Oh, you're going all out tonight, Jenny." And she said, "Yes." But she said, "John, I wish you'd write it down, because you, with your memory, you better write it down." So he was going out the door when she said, "One more thing." She said, "Since you're going to all that trouble, get me vanilla ice cream, soft ice cream. Let them put the chocolate sauce on and put a big glob of whipped cream on it and a cherry on the top. And John, I think you ought to really write it down with your memory." So John didn't slam the door, but he went out in a hurry and he got in the car, came to the end of the driveway. Instead of turning left and going a quarter of a mile to the ice cream store, he turned right and went to the local diner. And 25 minutes later, he came in and presented Jenny with a beautiful, beautiful platter of scrambled eggs, bacon, and grits. Jenny's face fell. She bowed her head, and he said, "Oh, no, Jenny, what did I forget?" She said, "John, you forgot the toast." I'd like to read in summary of that which has been before us here tonight, this week, the last chapter of Luke's Gospel and verses 49 to the end. Luke 24:49. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. The Lord Jesus has revealed himself in his resurrection to his disciples one more time. And we read in verse 49, "Behold, I send you the promise of my Father." Here is the Lord Jesus Christ in his prophetic form, his prophetic character. He's telling them that he is going to send the Spirit of God. "Tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." That's the Lord Jesus Christ as the prophet. There were three offices in the Old Testament. One was prophet, one was priest, and one was king. They could never be all in the same person, because in order to be a priest, he'd have to be of the tribe of Levi. In order to be a king, he would have to be of the tribe of Judah. And so this could not become the three offices of any one person. But in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have those three offices. First of all, he prophesies, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." And then we read that he blessed them. That's verse 50. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. This is the Lord Jesus Christ in his priestly office. And he ever lives to make intercession for us and to bless us. We've asked his blessing already today. We've asked his blessing on the gospel. We've asked his blessing for those who will travel and for all of the work here that goes on at Greenwood Hills. And he is more than pleased to hear our prayers and to lift up his hands and bless them. It's a lovely expression. He lifted up his hands. And what would they see as he lifted up his hands? If they were looking, and I'm sure they were, they would see the nail prints. They would remember that he had gone through the article of death on their behalf. And so we have the two offices here, the prophet and the priest. And then in verse 51, he was carried up into heaven. That's his kingly office. You see, this is how the kings traveled in those days. They were they sort of had portable thrones, and the servants would carry them hither and yon. And he is carried up into heaven. That's the three offices of the Old Testament becoming just evident in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then let's go back to verse 50. "And he led them out." This is not an office, but it's a function of our Lord Jesus Christ. He led them out. That's his shepherd character. "The Lord is my shepherd." I often like to stop there in Psalm 23 and just add something. Not adding to the Word of God, but adding to my own cognizance. "The Lord is my shepherd." The question is, who is yours? Who is yours? My, what a wonderful thing it is to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. And then we notice that he led them out as far as to Bethany. We commented on that the other day. This is the man Christ Jesus. Some tell us that these words could have been interpreted this way. He led them out as until they were over against or parallel to Bethany. He wanted to see it, as it were, for the last time. Well, we're going to have to shake each other's hand shortly, maybe for the last time. It's not a very happy thought, is it? But he wanted to see. It was a very human expression. He wanted to see Bethany as a man for the last time. And then in verse 52, they worshipped him. That's his deity. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They had just seen their best friend leave them on the hillside, but they returned with great joy. And notice what they were doing. They were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Just a few minutes to look at things that we must be doing. First of all, things we must never forget. Secondly, things we must always remember. It's the other side of the coin. And thirdly, things we should always be doing. Things that we should never forget. Well, of course, a man shouldn't forget his wife's birthday. And he shouldn't forget their anniversary. But those are things that are absolutely part of our daily lives. But God says through the psalmist in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Somebody was called on at a conference this summer to give thanks for the food. And he did a very unique thing. He thanked God for the bodies that we have that are capable of absorbing the food. Very interesting. This man apparently was not about to forget all the benefits. And of course, we have benefits that we take for granted, do we not? We breathe in oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. The trees do the very opposite. And this is what we call the balance of nature. It's one of the benefits that God has made available to us. And the rain and the sunshine. But then there are other benefits. We were talking last night, a couple of us, about the people of God and the fellowship that we have with one another. And I got awake very early this morning. And I began to think during the past number of decades how the with difficulty I would have to remember what discouragements God's people gave me. But rather, it's good to think of all the encouragements down through the years. I would say probably not more than two or three times in my life has anybody discouraged me. And I am so grateful that this is one of the benefits that has accrued to us because we are the children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the benefits that we have, that we can come and enjoy one another, enjoy the things of God, enjoy God's provision, enjoy fellowship in the Lord. And he says, forget not all his benefits. And then in Deuteronomy, the book of review, where Moses has been reminding them of all of God's faithfulness, and he warns them, he says, beware lest thou forget the Lord. And you think, how ridiculous is such a proposition, but it isn't ridiculous at all, is it? It's so easy to become accustomed to that which God has provided that we forget the giver himself. And then again in Deuteronomy he says, beware lest thou forget the Lord in not keeping his commandments. God's word, as we said the other day, there isn't anything in it that's extraneous. There isn't anything in it that's superfluous. God has spirit-breathed this word, and we ought to obey his commandments. And he says, forget not the works of God, Psalm 78, and forget not thy word of God, Psalm 119. And then in Hebrews, and we've already been exhorted to this morning, to communicate, forget not. We have the blessing of God, and we're able to communicate it to each other. And I heartily agree with our brother in communicating the necessary things toward the work here. Someone made a similar remark regarding the board of directors at Christian Missions in Many Lands. As most of you know, I'm vice president because they generally die in office, and so they made me vice president. But somebody made the unfortunate remark that CMML didn't need any money because all of the directors were very rich. And at the time I said, I hope my wife doesn't hear that. No, we need to communicate. We need to communicate funds. We need to communicate labor. We need to communicate the gospel. We need to communicate our fellowship with each other. And then James reminds us, he says, a man that is only a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man that looks in a mirror and he goes away and forgets what he looks like. He forgets that his face is dirty. He forgets this and that and the other. And he forgets to clean up, as we say, his act. Secondly, things that we should always remember. Again, in the book of Deuteronomy, the book of review, Moses said to the people of Israel, and don't forget, you were a bondservant in Egypt. Never forget it. In your treatment of other people, remember that you didn't deserve God's deliverance, but he gave it to you. A man that I know in full-time work, he said, every time I get discouraged, and I think that my brethren don't think as much of me as they should, he said, I try to remember that if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell. Yes, thou wast a bondservant. And think of the days of old. It doesn't mean to live in the past. It's just to remember that God was there in the days of old, and he's here today. Remember that 10 years from now, these will be the good old days. It's hard to believe, isn't it? But nevertheless, there it is. Remember the days of old. And then in Psalm 105, he says, remember his marvelous works. The marvelous works of nature alone should occupy our hearts and let them overflow with praise and worship. And then when we look at the work of salvation that God designed and our Lord Jesus Christ executed, and the Holy Spirit of God added his part, we would remember his marvelous works. And then remember the name of the Lord, and remember the Lord's death. One of the things that God had against Israel, that he spoke through Amos the prophet, was the fact that they grieved not. They didn't remember the afflictions of Joseph. This was hundreds of years afterwards. Why should they bother? Well, they should have bothered because if it hadn't been for Joseph, they wouldn't have been a nation. And he says, you remembered not the afflictions of Joseph. And we should pay especial attention to that glorious time when we can remember the Lord's death until he come. We've looked at things that we must never forget, and we've looked at things that we should always remember. And now let's look at a few things that we should always be doing. Well, the apostle says in 1 Corinthians 15, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. He doesn't say always trudging, always just making it go, but abounding in the work of the Lord. And there's so much to do. We can't go, some of us. We haven't got the energy. We haven't got the time. We haven't got this, that, the other. But we can abound in prayer. As we said the other day, time after time after time, we read a letter from a missionary. And I get about 40 a month. We read a letter from a missionary, and they close invariably, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. Not only pray for them, but communicate with them. I've known a missionary to say, I haven't had a letter from my home assembly in several years. That's sad. That's sad. We should never forget to communicate. And then Philippians chapter 4, written from a prison cell, the apostle says, rejoice in the Lord always. Always abounding, always rejoicing. Oh, Lord. I know we get to the point sometimes where we say, well, it isn't easy. Of course not. But we can always rejoice in the goodness of God, in his mercy, in his love, in his grace, in his provision. Rejoicing always. And then in 1 Thessalonians, as always, also in Luke 18, we are urged to pray always. Pray always. And then in Psalm 16, the psalmist sums it all up in these words: I have set the Lord always before me. Oh, that we might have the Lord constantly before us. It gives us motivation. We can do the Lord's work because we ought to. But we can do it a lot better if our motivation is love for Christ. I have set the Lord always before me. Someone has said there are priorities in life. First of all, you give God the first portion of the day. Secondly, you give God the first portion of your income. If you wait until all the bills are paid, he'll get nothing. And thirdly, you give God the first consideration in any decisions that you have to make. And fourthly, you put God first. Yes, I have set the Lord always before me. May this be our motivation. May this be our life. Shall we pray? We thank thee, our God and Father, for the riches of thy grace toward us in providing thy word, the written word, revealing to us the living word, who revealed to us all that God is. And so we thank thee and worship thee and praise thee. We pray too for thy blessing today upon those of thy servants in foreign fields. We think of the situation here at home. We remember that boys and girls clubs are beginning all over the country for the fall and winter season. And we pray that thou wilt bless them, the Awana groups and everything else. God, bless thy word in our land. And we pray too for those in other lands that are serving on the front lines, some of them in a very discouraging work, some of them under very discouraging conditions. And we pray that thou wilt undertake for them. We thank thee for thy presence with us this week, and we offer our praise and our worship and our adoration to thee, the God of all grace, the God of hope, the God of peace, the God of love, especially the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. I want to take this opportunity to just express my appreciation for all of your kindness here this week, for the warm reception of the word and the warm reception of myself. Thank you.